broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, what is it, already June the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2018? Wow! This is our one of two, and our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, and absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances, absolutely brilliant. One of the great solutions for peaceful restoration we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm actually still on the road. Kirk Cosby's in studio with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. All right, I'll try to get Kirk back as soon as I can get him. In the meantime, though, we'll move right along. I don't have my show notes with me. When I'm on the road, it's a lot harder to do the show, you know. I'm in California, by the way, and so the show is super early in the morning. It's 6 to 8 a.m. And so it's 6 in the morning here, and I don't have my show notes handy, but I know what we covered yesterday. We talked a lot about the pardon of Dinesh D'Souza. And several people are getting pardoned by this president. You know, most presidents wait till the end of their term in office, and then they pardon a bunch of people on their way out kind of thing. Donald Trump has broken quite a bit from that pattern, and he has started to pardon people really all the way from the beginning, from Joe Arpaio right on through to Dinesh D'Souza. Anyway, several other people being pardoned. We really hope... We hope and pray that we can get to the president as well. Now, Kim Kardashian went to the White House, had a big old talk. She's getting a lady, a friend of hers or an associate that she's heard of, who went to prison for drugs. They felt like that, I don't know, prison sentence didn't match the crime exactly either. And so there's an effort there by Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian meeting with Jared Kushner and those guys and President Trump. And it looks like Donald Trump Jr. is now praising Kim Kardashian. So there's a big Trump / Kardashian, I don't know what you call it, love fest right now, it seems. But our hope is when we talk about Dinesh D'Souza, when we talk about Kim Kardashian going to the White House, when we talk about Joe Arpaio's pardon and others, we're really hoping this will dovetail into the freedomcoalition.com website we've put together. We were the first ones to this table. About looking for pardons for innocents in prison. And if you read our website, thefreedomcoalition.com, it'll articulate quite well what we stand for, what we do with relation to that. But all I'm telling you is we're sure hopeful because there's other people that really deserve a pardon, that really do not belong in prison. Either one, they did nothing wrong. The Bundys were a big group in that category that we really felt like, hey, they were wronged, and it was dishonest. They did nothing wrong. That was one group. Thank heavens a lot of those guys are free. But there were some sentences handed down, in my opinion, based on dishonest circumstances with regards to the government lying. And so Pete Santilli and several others copped, did a plea bargain of some kind. They were threatened by government and facing a long time in prison. So they said, hey, even though I don't think I'm guilty of what they're claiming, I'm just going to have to cop a plea of guilty. Otherwise, I face, forever in prison. I don't want to do that. And so they felt pressured or forced into, I don't know if I should say an admission of guilt, because that's not exactly the way it was, but they certainly felt pressured into some kind of compromise they might not have agreed to with the information that we have now and that we knew about, but that, had to get it understood by the judge and accepted in court and proven. That has now happened. A whistleblower in the Ammon Bundy and Crew case happened. Thank heavens for that. And the BLM, another BLM employee that was involved, literally caught in other scandals. And so, one whistleblower saved the day. The other involved in a big old scandal proves the government had a very deceptive, evil agenda. And so with that new information, I'm confident that a lot of these guys that ended up with plea bargains would not have. And so whether someone's innocent in prison or whether someone's abused by the prison in the Lavoie-Finicum case, Lavoie-Finicum is dead because, hey, FBI along with Oregon State Police shot him, murdered him, in my humble opinion. That would be an innocent that we're trying to protect as well. So it's people in prison, people who may be out of prison now but have been wronged by the prison system, people who never received their due process, that we're looking to protect. When it comes to Sam Girard, for example, who just grew some chickweed and created a salve out of it. One of the Amish is in prison because of violations of the FDA, supposedly. Those are innocents who we really believe we need to work towards a release. And so thefreedomcoalition.com is the website for that. And we're really hoping that Donald Trump will keep this pardoning, pattern in his presidency alive is the best way to describe it. And we pray that we can sit down with President Trump and eventually create a commission. And this presidential commission would be designed to look into these cases. We would have funding. And they look at the cases and say, hey, is this a justifiable situation where due process has been honored and respected in America? You know, Donald Trump really talked about if we're going to be a nation, we better be a nation of laws. If you don't obey the laws of the nation, you don't have a nation. I think he's spot on those statements. And I think that we really need to work towards the review of many, 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 many of these cases across the land. And in each case, the problem is the twists and turns are so complicated. It's very difficult to get a congressman or a senator or something behind the discussions for this because the internal court cases and the details surrounding everybody's situation is so complex, so detailed, that it's very hard to get people up to speed and get people to understand it to make decisions regarding. However, if we could get a case and then we could take this presidential commission that had funding to really research the details of it and then present our findings to the president, then we might be able to really help innocents in prison. So anyway, I digress, but I go off on that project to remind everybody, of course, that we have never given up on these poor people, innocents in prison. We do believe in the principle of due process. It's one of the greatest, in my opinion, blessings that America has to offer, the uniqueness of this great, great land we live in, which is this idea that, hey, you're innocent until proven guilty. This fundamental understanding that there is due process of law, and just because somebody works for or is involved in government, that doesn't mean that they have any rights above anybody else. It doesn't mean they should use their authority in government without, you know, bowing to the simple due process principle that has made America so great. If we want to make America great again, then that's what we need to return to. For sure. So I just wanted to go off on that a little bit, remind everybody about it. We're still working towards it. And when Kim Kardashian goes to the White House and other people are getting pardons, it seems to me that issue and idea we agree with Donald Trump on and certainly want to keep it alive through thefreedomcoalition.com. And hopefully we can end up with, working on a presidential commission that could look into these cases. Richard Mack, or former Sheriff Richard Mack, who beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court over the Brady Bill would be certainly one person I would recommend to be on that committee. Anyway, thefreedomcoalition.com to learn more. You with me yet, Kurt?
Yeah, Sam. When I came back, I guess I lost my internet connection, but anyway, now I'm all connected back up.
Welcome,
sir.
I don't
know what happened. Thank you. By the way, on the Freedom Coalition thing that you were talking about and the Kim Kardashian thing, there's a lot of movement, it seems like, with a number of cases, whether they're pardoned or their sentences are being commuted. For example, like with the Hammonds, that's what they could do. They could just say, hey, your sentence is commuted. He wouldn't have to issue a pardon.
And what that means for everybody understands is, hey, we're just going to let you go. Time served, no harm, no foul. We're sorry, let's move on, right?
Yeah, there's plenty of that to be passed around. And, the Kardashians,
that's a great point.
And the Kanye West connection there. I think those were all kind of connected up there. And then you've got, there's plenty of movement in that area, and we just hope for more of it,
Yeah, and we hope that we can get some of our people involved because I think that you know, Kim Kardashian or Kanye West or some of these other people, Dinesh D'Souza, some of those cases are big enough. The Scooter Libby, some of those cases are big enough to kind of easily be brought to the forefront by somebody that, with some star power. But a lot of these cases, the Sam Gerard case, the Hammonds, many of these other cases, without somebody, you know, carrying the ball on that, making the topic bigger or big enough than it needs to be, it's really hard to get, like I say, people's arms around it. It's so complex. It's in obscurity. The natural inclination is, oh, my goodness, they must have done something wrong. Or something egregious to be in the position they're in. Those things just aren't true, and it's up to us to kind of bring this to the table. And I think we have a window of opportunity still, and we're not giving up. That's the point, Kurt.
It's a great point. And, well, you know, we never give up for good things, you know, try to move good things forward, and that's the bottom line.
All right, Keith, or Kurt's going to do his incredible job letting me know when the breaks come, because sometimes when I'm on a phone line traveling, it's very hard to hear. So Kurt will just interrupt me and do the breaks properly so I don't blow them all show long like I did yesterday. I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. Very hard to hear on a cell phone and a phone line and very unique circumstances. It's hard to hear. Nevertheless, we got our buddy Brian Rust, RustQuinnAndGift.com on the line. Welcome, Brian.
Appreciate being here.
You betcha. Any quick comment on the Freedom Coalition we're working on?
I think it's a great thing. You know, a lot of this gets pushed under the carpet. These people get, you know, put away for long periods of time. Where, you know, I think it's just sad. So
okay, hold on, Brian. I'm sorry. I went to you a little too quick before the break. Let's do the break. We'll come right back. And we'll get Brian Rust's comments on that. Then we'll move into money. And we'll do it all in seconds on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on the road. Kurt Crosby in studio. Brian Rust, RustQuinnAndGift.com is with us. We're talking about this Freedom Coalition effort, thefreedomcoalition.com, our website, thefreedomcoalition.com. We want to create a presidential commission to look at innocence in prison and make sure due process of law really happens for the average American. And the best way to do that is to have a review board of good, honest private citizens law enforcement personnel and others that could truly dig into these cases and find out the truth. Remember, the truth shall set you free. So, Brian, I'm so sorry for the interruption, sir. Go ahead. You were saying you like this idea. You think there's merit?
Well,
and sorry for the interruption, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Absolutely. I think everybody deserves due process, and when it becomes one more jab at us, I guess, if we're not getting some of the things that we're should have as free citizens, to obviously that due process is important, and I think a lot of people are being abused by this, especially if we don't stand up for agree with some of the things that are going on, or this, that, and the other, or we say, well, sometimes you get with your attorneys or others that are trying to twist this, that, and the other, and if we don't have that due process, we can't say, well, do this because it's going to be better. Well, that didn't turn out to be better. That wasn't good information, or I think that about it.
And one of the most important takeaways here, Brian, in my mind, is that it's important that if we have a problem with something in America, that we don't just let it fester and ignore it, and we don't also then try to say the ends justify the means and go around and break the law or do something like that. The goal is to say, look, we've got a legitimate issue. We should bring our redress of grievances through proper channels to make a difference. And that's one of the big things that Liberty Roundtable Live is known for, is saying, hey, we do have an issue with something. But we're not just going to go rogue, and we're not going to just complain and do nothing. We're going to actually try to put things in place that make a difference in a meaningful, law-abiding way. And that's unique, I think.
Well, and we have a president that's kind of doing that, that's saying, hey, we're going to make some changes here. What's been even keel is not working. We're seeing the damage and destruction that's going on. And so he's making the change. I think this is important, and that's how the word gets out. Things start changing.
Amen to that. And it's something that we can all be involved in, too. That's why there's plenty of hope for America. By the way, I saw a headline. I want to get your take on this, too. It says Canadian banks are refusing to pay a ransom after they had a potential data breach. So now you got banks getting breached. They're getting locked down by ransomware. Ransomware basically is where they lock all your files with encryption, and then they say, hey, if you pay us, we'll unlock your files. And, well, it is smart to not pay the ransom. I concur with the bank on this. However, the point that they got hacked and they're refusing to pay the ransom tells you plenty about our modern day, Brian.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think is a scary moment in our country. If they're trying to push us away from cash, we need to be totally, cards I lost my train of thought there, but they want us away from cash or gold or anything that they say, well, we're protected here and there. Well, we see every day that they can't protect us per se based on, we're going cashless society, straight credit card society or banking card society. Well, there's one more evidence of the fact of, okay, well, they can't protect it. So one minute you might have money in the bank and the next you don't, or they've locked it up. So now you can't even access your account. I mean, that's just one more lever of control. Scares me.
Kurt, what do you think? You got banks literally getting hacked in Canada and they basically won't pay the ransom.
I remember seeing different movies about that. How I like to put a movie together with some modern day news story, but it's
as long
just
as
interesting.
People don't get confused between the reality and Kurt's movies. I'm fine with the analogies, right?
That's right. So many times I think the guys making the movies get their ideas from what happened in real life or whatever, and you see this. At least in my opinion, so many times, like Brian was saying, I mean, imagine, one minute you're thinking, hey, man, I'm sitting here, I got Venmo and PayPal, and I got my cryptocurrencies and all that kind of stuff, and then, whoops, what happens if the old internet goes out? And, I guess you could say you're back in time, because I'll tell you what, that's what it's like. And I mean, when I'm sitting there selling honey and I got somebody come up and they pull some of that even though it's what we call fiat money out to pay, at least they can do that when that internet's down. You know, I sure appreciate it, though. Every so often somebody's like, hey, I got a little silver and or maybe even some gold, you know, to trade. And, man, you know, it doesn't even require an internet connection, does it, Brian?
Wow, good point. You know, it's kind of funny in modern times, too, you know, when you see we saw a big line at the store or whatever, and then they're like, hey, you know, what's going on with this line? Why is this? Well, hey, our systems are down or whatever. We don't have power or we don't have our connection. I can't remember what the detail was. And I mean, they were just paralyzed. They couldn't do any transactions. They couldn't even open their till, their drawer, whatever you call that thing these days, to give any change. Even if you had cash, you couldn't do it. Brian, and that's kind of something that we need to really think about. And one of the areas that I think that's thought the least about it is the financial systems. I mean, either they've thought the least about it or they intentionally have no backup, no plan, no solution. I mean, even down to the simplest transaction can't hardly even be done, Brian.
Well, and how long does it take to recover to get you back online or so on? I mean, we've seen people at banks in various places where they're waiting in line at the bank to get maybe here we can allow you to have maybe $20 today or $10 today. Come back tomorrow. We'll try to get you to jump in that line again. Just peace of mind basically gives you the freedom. So if you have all your eggs dumped in one basket and that basket all of a sudden shuts down, you have no peace of mind. But if you've got some diversity where you can, you know, I have this right here I can fall back on and use this gold or silver or other means to which has real buying power, now you've got peace of mind. Okay, they're going to probably get this straightened out, I would think. I hope I didn't lose my $10,000 that was sitting there or whatever. But you have peace of mind because now you have some livability, I guess, and power in the sense that you have something right now that you, if you need to buy food or whatever it may be, you've got that.
You know, Sam, real quick.
A little bit of metals all make a difference a little bit at a time or one piece at a time. That's kind of how we teach people to prepare, is that you got to work on this stuff a little bit here, a little bit there. And it's not something that you do in a panic, not something you borrow a ton for or go in debt for, but it is something that you work on day to day. Kurt?
You know, I was looking, Brian, back at the all of us have known how it seems like the metals, the gold and silver, has kind of been, you know, you could say stagnant for a while at a certain level, pretty close. But I was looking back at the when, you know, how these investors do it. They look and they look at the track record and they go, oh, here's where it is and here's what's been going on. But it was interesting to me looking back both at silver and gold and back when they, at least in the recent future, back in what was about 2011, around May of 2011, when looks like silver hit about $47 and gold hit what was it, about 1800, somewhere there, 1900.
Yeah, almost 1900 bucks.
So I don't remember what was going on exactly, and so I thought maybe Brian would give us a heads up on what he remembered about that time and how you know, I guess at least if that happened before, it certainly could happen again. What do you remember that, Brian?
Amen to that. Before Brian goes to that really quick, Kurt, just so everybody knows, gold and silver are pretty flat. You know, gold's at, what, 1301 this morning, and silver's like at 1650 kind of range or something like that. You know, we haven't really seen a whole lot of movement. People are saying it's pretty stable as a rock, and I kind of think that's a temporary scenario, but that's what they're claiming, Brian.
Yeah, you know, silver sitting around 1690. You've got what was going on basically back then is we were talking about real things. I mean, you had the deficit. They were talking about the deficit. You saw them. You turn on the news and it would give gold, silver reports. You know, talk about the deficit and things like that. I was pushing metals. People were involved.
Hang tight, Brian. We'll take a quick break. We'll come straight back to you, my friend. Thanks so much for your patience. We'll hold you over a little longer because I took too much of your time. We appreciate you. RushCoinAndGift.com. Back in seconds. Liberty Roundtable live.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To leave a message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Kurt Crosby in studio, Sam Bushman on the road, Brian Rust riding shotgun, Rust. coinandgift.com. This is the Honest Money Report section of Liberty Roundtable Live. Brian was telling us back in 2011 when gold and silver had a big old spike. And that's what the mainstream press would report. The truth is the dollar tanked at the time, and Brian was tying this to the deficit that people were focused on at the time. Brian?
Yeah, you had a major collapse of the stock market there in 2009. You had, people started looking at the fact of, okay, well, where do we sit economically? I mean, the dollar was coming down, and yet our spending, we continued to spend and reckless abandon, and so people were watching the fact of, okay, what's happening? We're so far in debt. How are we going to come out of it? They even broke it down to each individual living in the U.S. is, this is your debt mark per se. And now the stock market's just going unbelievably high. I think people are thinking, okay, well, at some point that's probably going to come down. But the one thing that we don't talk much about anymore, like we did then and focused on that, was our deficit. It continued to just recklessly run amok. And at some point that, you just keep printing money and you just keep spending money like it's no big deal. At some point we're going to have a big collapse. And I think that's kind of, they just don't talk about it. They kind of divert it to, and all the news that's going on and all the different things happening.
So, yeah, it looks like Rand Paul, at least on the national stage, is kind of the only one that really focuses on it much. But he continues to say that we need to audit and end the Fed. He continues to focus on the deficit spending. He's the only one that's put together a balanced budget, real opportunity with a 1% or a penny plan. I can't remember what it's called right now. I don't have it in front of me, but where he basically actually cuts spending by a penny. Politicians dismiss it as just not realistic or feasible at all, Kurt.
It's a penny per dollar. So how it would work is the penny plan that they've presented would be, if there's a dollar in the budget, then it would only be 99 cents the next budget.
In other words, a real cut, not a pretend
decrease
of an increase, so to speak.
That's right.
Brian, do you think we can ever get them to put real reform in place like that? Because at some point, if we don't put real reform in place, at some point this thing's going to bust at the seams. It can't go on forever. I know people believe that it can. I know what do they call those? The Keynesian economists and stuff like that believe that that's like a good thing or a blessed thing. But you know what? This cannot last forever.
Well, we see so much manipulation. I mean, if it was true given, in fact, okay, this is the way it really is, and it's happening per se, like if it were, we're finding stories all the time of, well, they're manipulating this, or they're doing this, or Facebook, if they just did this, and their stocks are starting to drop now. Or there's so much kind of corruption. And, so much of this, wrong that we're now calling right and stuff in the world. I mean, it's just a matter of time. There's no stability with it. So at least if you've got some kind of metals put away, I tell my clients, basically, stay even keel. Don't change course. You know, buy a little bit at a time. You can afford a little bit here, a little bit there, and just tuck it away. You're not going to miss that at all. And yet it gives you stability.
And that's one of the big keys. And speaking of stability, too, it looks like there's a headline that says Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security and these kind of things. There, every single day, it seems like there's less of a, I don't know what you call it, lease life on these things. That, hey, it's running deficits, or it's going to come to a halt, or have massive changes done to it by force. That's probably one of the soonest things that we'll see a big sea change in. They're going to be forced to reckon with that sooner rather than later. And I don't know exactly when, because the timetables they play games with, it depends on how many people die. And I mean, it's all kinds of weird scenarios. But at the end of the day, that's one of the things that's going to have to be dealt with, or there'll be a reckoning first on, I think, which would be Social Security and such, Brian.
Yeah, I think, too, what's going to happen, too, is the real panic. When panic hits, now all of a sudden, what do? Okay, they've just changed that. I'm not going to get as much maybe what I thought I was going to get from Social Security. And now Medicaid and Medicare, they're not going to pay for something. I've got nothing. So it puts more and more control in the government and less on the, with people, because at that point, panic, they don't know how to. So then they got a turn for going, what can you do to help? I need help. So now we're kind of, away from making decisions ourselves. They're going to do everything for us. We're just going to be sitting on the sideline, and they're going to tell us what to do, what to eat. Don't drink pop, right? Soda pop, can't do that. Anyway, so.
Yeah.
Of course, you can smoke marijuana and have prostitutes if you're in America, too. just don't drink soda pop. I mean, it's insanity on steroids. And so use fake money,
right.
Smoke pot, but don't possibly drink soda pop. Having a root beer float would just be like disaster for you and your obesity. And I mean, they go on and on. But it's important that they're instructive to also think a little bit about this idea, too, that in America, more and more people are starting to come to the knowledge of the truth, though. It used to be just Peter Schiff, guys like me and Kurt and Rand and Ron Paul and a few of the constitutionalists and real money or honest money advocates that would speak out about this. But now more and more mainstream people are starting to say, hey, you know what, the dollar's not just going to be bullish forever. They're kind of bearish on the dollar, going, hey, as other countries devalue the dollar, as other currencies compete with the dollar, whether it be currencies of another nation and or fiat digital currencies or cryptocurrencies or whatever else, more and more mainstream economists are starting to say, hey, we're not going to be as bullish on the dollar as we once were as well. Kurt?
A while back I would have said, hey, it's never not much of a chance at all to ever go back to honest money. But I'll tell you what, with this president who is you know, got this, well, theme of making America great again, you know, I'm more and more hopeful. And then I also remind folks that, like, for example, when I'm out selling honey and I've got some silver, I don't typically have gold on the table, but I got some silver and that kind of thing, and remind folks how our money used to be. I like to remind them as well about how I believe just a certain amount, as much as we can get in people's hands of honest money, the gold and silver coinage of the Constitution, and or what, you know, what we try to promote as the circulating money, and that would be a silver certificate or a gold certificate. Those kind of things would be this solution. But like in your case, Brian, I always tell folks, get some. A buddy of mine got some back in like 2000, and now he's got kind of a crunch. And, you know, he's grateful that when he bought it, it was like $3.52, you know, per face. So that means for four quarters, he paid $3.52, or for 10 dimes, silver dimes, he paid $3.52. And now, you know, he's
like
able to...
off until you understand that the value is lost in the fake money, not the real money, right, Kurt?
Yeah, well, and now he's able to, you know, turn that into, you know, three or so times or even more times the amount that he paid. And, you know, it's I think, pretty nice to have something like that held away. You can put it in your freezer or whatever. Even if you did have a fire, it's probably not going to ruin your silver or gold that's all stored away. It's typically pretty easy to put, and it's a little tougher to kind of spend in a real quick moment. So that's one of the other things I think with honest money. It helps you kind of save it a little bit more. And
it's real kinda, savings, which is a sea change from what we see elsewhere. And by the way,
that's
Kurt,
right.
One of the things to think about, not only is it real money and it's easy to save and hold on to, and it kind of encourages that savings mentality, one of the things that I'm really encouraged by when you said this idea that, hey, I never thought we'd return back to honest money, but now I'm starting to see that we actually are in many ways. The UPMA, the United Precious Metals Association, has really moved the needle towards people being able to use that day-to-day as well. And it is, to some degree, you know, a vault where they store it securely and safely in the private sector. But it's also tied to the ability to use it in a modern kind of, you know, way, digitally and, mm-hmm. and otherwise. You get kind of the best of both worlds. Brian, do you want to respond to the UPMA? Are you involved in that much?
Yeah, I'm not into that. I think they've got a good plan, and that they're kind of moving forward. The one thing I would suggest, though, is you just don't always want to put your eggs in one spot, because if something happened, I've seen some of these depositories so on where they've gone out or someone's taken up stuff and it's not there when they thought. I mean, that scenario they're setting up is kind of a little different, but still, you don't want to have to call someone. You don't want to have to, I mean, obviously have a card, but if that digital card's not working or you can't get into that bank account, you got to have a little bit of that hard asset, real life stuff somewhere where you've got instant cash today, right now, this second. If I got to walk to my neighbor, if I need to trade something here, Kurt's got honey, I'm heading over there.
Amen to that. Hold on, Brian. We're going to take a quick pause. We'll be right back. If you stay a little longer, we'd be grateful. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam, Kurt, Brian, Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, every Thursday we update you with our Honest Money Report, keeping an eye on gold and silver, constitutional currency, and breaking it down from an educational point of view on honest money, on the history of money, with a gold and silver expert in the business for more than 50 years, Brian Rust. Riding shotgun today, rustcoinandgift.com is his website. And he's basically making the point that, hey, the UPMA, Utah Precious, or United, it used to be Utah, United Precious Metal Association and others do great work. But he's not too involved because he's saying, hey, it's important that you kind of take possession of your gold and silver. And I think that's a critical point, and I would say that never lose sight of Brian's point. At the same time, you got to use it in the modern world. And so a balance of, hey, taking possession of your metal on one hand and then the ability to deal with at least some kind of fiat currency backed by gold and silver. And that's kind of an interesting twist, is that, you know, all the other fiat currencies are backed by nothing. This one, at least, you can take possession of some of your gold and silver, and then you can also leave some of it in this vault that's in the private hands that can let you deal in the modern world of digital currencies, et cetera, but it's backed by something. So I kind of believe in the best of both worlds there, Brian.
Yeah, that's the factor. I've seen a few of these places. Some of them, there's been a few that have kind of come and gone and taken people's money with them. So I'm not saying this is what's happening here. I'm just saying that you've got to protect yourself. I'm old school in the sense of, okay, if Kurt's got honey and I've got some dimes, you know, I can go to Kurt and say, hey, will you trade me for some of that honey? I can use some of that honey, you take dimes. Well, then the farmer's got some of this produce. He'd be able to. So we got that trading system going back to way back when, that it kind of, we're moving the currency, real currency, for products that we can eat and so on. So.
No, it's a valuable point, because if you have your money or your wealth in a vault, Kurt won't be too excited to give you honey in hopes that you can deliver your side of the bargain. And so learning to barter, learning to negotiate, learning to keep things in your hands, I think, is critical. And again, we always want to focus on that. I do know a lot of times, though, in the digital world of our society, it requires that, hey, at some point I take that and convert it to digital or convert it to fiat dollars or whatever else. To survive, there's just too many transactions that occur in the digital world these days. And so that's why I kind of say, in a practical sense, you got to have a little bit of both. And the more you can store and hold, the better off you are. That's for sure. Kurt, any comment on that?
Yeah, and get, go to, I mean, all I can tell you is, man, I've never seen a time when somebody walked up to me with, some silver or even some gold, and I said, well, my system's down. I'm going to have to, try to get back with you, something like that. Go over to the ATM.
And I've never been able to really see someone that's not interested in doing business when you pull out gold or silver. They're just like, hey, I got to find a way to make that happen. Right, Brian?
Yep, that's exactly right. And I agree, diversification is important. So, yeah.
And you, you know, and if, let's say you aren't up with the modern world, but you've got some old-fashioned silver or gold, I'll bet you can find somebody that'll help you make some kind of transaction in that modern world with some of that old-fashioned honest money. You know, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I recommend you get... you know, my favorites are the mercury dimes. The reason I like when it comes to the silver dimes, I like the mercury dimes because at least the grandkids will look at it if they do get one and go, that's not the same as a regular dime, you know, because the design's different. And the same way with, say, the quarters, you can get these ones that are older and they, you know, they don't look, at least have the same design as the quarters we use now. The same way with the 50-cent pieces, they're kind of like the old Ben Franklin ones. And then the, you know, of course, the silver dollars. I like the old ones, especially. Typically, you can get them for a little cheaper, but it's nice to have a few of those 2018 silver dollars around because you can show that to somebody and they look at you like, oh, I didn't know they were making those anymore. I mean, it's just fun to see them do that and kind of, especially an older gentleman or something that remembers the days of the silver dollars, when you can remind them and let them know that those are still around. And, you know, why don't you get some more of these instead of having some of that old crypto stuff, you know?
Amen to that, Kurt. One of my favorite ones is the Silver Eagle Silver Dollar, only because it's so iconic. But yet it's not numismatic in nature, and it's a kind of an idea where you see that eagle and you think, America, let's make it great again, and you think honest money, and you hold that dude in your hand, and it's heavy, and you feel like there's real value there. Excuse me. And you literally show that to someone and say, hey, it says right on here, it's a dollar, right? And they say, well, yeah, it says that right on there. You know, it's like United States dollar, you know, it's as documentable as you can get. And then you just ask them, you say, hey, how much do you think it costs to get one of these? And they're like, well, a dollar, right? And then you say, well, not really the truth. And this just proves to you that gold and silver holds its value. I know people say silver's down right now. It's in the tank or whatever. But, you know, it takes you, you know, just say $20, $19, whatever it is, to get one of these right now. And you say, what's happened? Why is that the case? And it's really an educational tool to help people kind of clearly understand, you know, you hold that to a Federal Reserve note, a dollar that we use today, the fake currency, and then you hold one of those silver, regular silver coins up and you just say, listen, what's the difference in these two? The government's claiming they're both a dollar. Now, somebody can't be accurate, can they? Somebody's lying. Who is it? Is it the United States Treasury, the Mint, if you will? Is it the Federal Reserve? Is it your government involved with the Federal Reserve? What's the story there? Because it takes 19 of these to get one of these, 19 fake fiat Federal Reserve notes to get one of these Silver Eagle documented by the Treasury of the United States dollar. What gives here, Brian? And I kind of think that simple lesson, really, if you're a thinking person, opens up your mind to say, hey, everybody tells me silver's not doing very well. And my response is, what are you talking about? It takes 19 fiat dollars to get one of those, dude. 19 times, yeah, from what it used to be. It's doing pretty well, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Well, it's like you say, it's real money. I mean, the government's printing this money to make money, so they're creating that scenario to make money. But I try to get my, you know, a lot of my customers and clientele, you know, to look at the, you know, yeah, maybe your markets are a little bit flat, but if you look at it in a different perspective, it's a backing. You're protecting yourself in a backing, and then you can kind of explain the fact of, okay, well, that $20 gold piece is going to hold its value. That silver dollar, that silver real dollar, has real value. Where your 19 $1 bills that you hold or so on, you know, loses that value. And you've seen it spending. Let's just look at the spending power of each. So it, you kind of can create that and they can see that. So that's what we try to help explain, just as you're doing here.
All right. Kurt loves the quarters and dimes the best. And then, of course, he loves the silver dollar. It's not that we dislike one. We're just kind of highlighting the value and differences in some. What's your favorite coins to use daily, to store, to et cetera, Brian?
Yeah, you know, I got into the Mercury Dime when I was a kid, and Walking Liberty Half. Those were kind of the two favorites, and I just started putting some stuff away. I like the old $20 gold pieces. My dad, as a young boy, my dad was, there was a lady that came in every week and bought one $20 gold piece. She paid, I think the first ones I remember, $28, and then $35, whatever. But I'd walk her up to her bank in downtown Salt Lake, up Main Street, to her bank, and she'd open that little vault, and she had hundreds of these things in there. And I just, oh, that's awesome. I just got and enjoyed that, and that's kind of the one I've held on to, I think.
So you like the Walking Liberty Half. I think Liberty's on the march and Tyranny's on the run, but, hey, we got to keep working on that and making sure that's the case. You like the Walking Liberty Half, Kurt? Do you use those much?
Yes, I think those are beautiful. You know, I just want to make sure that if a kid, I hear these stories every so often when I'm promoting silver and gold, I hear these stories of where some little grandma or somebody will come up and say, yeah, my so-and-so got into my stash and went down and spent it at the grocery store for candy or whatever. You know, I want to make sure that at least if they get one of those in their hand, at least they know, wait a minute, there's something different here. You know, and the other thing that I was going to mention, and I highly recommend Brian's services there at Russ Coin and Gift. And, you know, you go in there and, like, Sam, for example, he's been blind since he was born. And he was telling you how he can feel that, you know. And when you put a silver dollar, one of those 2018 silver dollars in his hand, or even a 50-cent piece or a quarter, he can tell the difference, the dime. He can tell that difference. Now, when you hand him a dollar bill, a $5 bill, a $10 bill, $100 bill, he can't tell any difference there. And he has to have somebody tell him. But that's the beautiful thing.
Well, that's because if you're only get technical, coins. Kurt, besides the fake number they printed on there, there is no difference.
That's exactly right, Sam. Good point.
Right? I mean, it's just a piece of paper. They just print this different number, and somehow it's supposed to have this different mnemonic value or whatever like that. How does that really work? And the answer is it doesn't. The reason the other one works is because there's actually more there. There is a difference in value, Brian.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you can feel it, and you can get it. You know, if you take a coin or so and you drop it on a counter, you can kind of hear the ring and that of the silver, or you know, even you know, gold. That ring that kind of comes from that coin as opposed to other metals.
So, like, when you're trying to get a little gold, that's one thing I haven't done, but, you know, I am a little tempted, especially when, like, a buddy of mine brings me, I don't know, these big old bags of quarters, you know, that I'm almost needing a, you know, a little pallet or a cart for. You know, on your gold coins, the smallest ones you can get are, what, $5 gold coins? Is that what it is?
Yeah, they make a 10th ounce $5 gold piece. Yeah, you know, they're getting down into even some of the grams now, where you can get a little gram bar, Swiss credit, things like that.
But the U.S. $5 gold piece is going to cost you what? About around 140, or is that what it is?
Yeah, they're about $145 range in that on the 10th ounce. Yeah, the little premium, a little higher.
So, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Think about a $5 gold coin worth $140.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Very good point, Sam.
Think about a dollar silver coin worth like $19. And then you kind of start to go, man, something's wrong with what's going on here. And I think that's the easiest way to wake up. In fact, I think Sam and Kurt ought to do a Liberty Roundtable Live video about that, you know?
That's a great point. But, yeah, do that, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm pretty tempted to do that myself. Then I can... you know, if I got a big lug of quarters, maybe I won't have to do so much weightlifting. Right, Sam?
Hey, thanks, Brian. We appreciate you, sir. Godspeed. We'll chat next week. Thanks so much for your Honest Money Report, sir.
Hey, thanks. Have a great day.
Amen. There you have it. Hour one of the can. Hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt on your radio. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com or LibertyNewsRadio.com. This is the Widow's Mite Radio Network. You can use every penny you'll give us. We've got day jobs. We don't want you to fund our family, but if we provide value to you through the news the network refuses to use, reciprocate, and donate today. We declare this nation shall endure.